If you would, take your Bibles and turn to two passages of Scripture this morning. I want you to mark 2 Timothy chapter, both in the same book, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And in the verses we're going to start out reading this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 down through verse 17. I don't normally do this. You know, I try to stay on point, and usually we're working our way through some book verse by verse, and Lord willing, by God's grace, next Sunday, I will begin a new series of messages in John chapter 14, and we're going to go through John chapter 14, John chapter 15, John chapter 16, because we've already done 17, and I actually looked on sermon audio, we did 10 through 13, but we hadn't done 14, 15, 16. So, Lord willing, be in prayer for me this week as I start this new study, that everything will work out. But I got to looking, I got to thinking, you know, it is a holiday, and it is Mother's Day. And I don't normally do that, but sometimes things just get impressed on your heart. I've had some things that have been on my mind for some time as your pastor and as a fellow believer. And I just wanted to try to express them to you the best way that I can based on God's testimony. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 3. We want to begin in verse 14 and read down through the end of this chapter. I've entitled this message, A Godly Mother's Example. A Godly Mother's Example. Listen to this. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That word perfect there means complete. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I can say this to begin with, if we're not complete in Christ Jesus, no good works can come forth. None. That's so important to understand that. Well, where do you begin? I mean, where do you start with a message like this? What's the thoughts that pass through your mind and my mind when we gather together to worship on a Sunday morning? Well, I tell you what, the Scriptures in their entirety are filled. You hear me? They are absolutely filled with examples of how truly justified saints, you hear that? Truly justified saints, those who are made righteous in Christ, those who have been made the righteousness of God in Him. How were they made the righteousness of God in Him? Here's how they were made the righteousness of God in Him. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that by this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. What's preached to you? The forgiveness of sins. And by Him, by this man, Christ Jesus our Lord, by Him all believing are justified, not put in a justifiable position, or put on the straight and narrow, or moved over to the narrow way, only ultimately to fall over into the broad way. That's the way religion teaches it. You can start off on the narrow way, and then somehow you get off in a life of immorality and ungodliness, and they don't take into consideration what our Lord was teaching in that Sermon on the Mount. Teaching impossibility of salvation based on anything you do assisted by whatever aid or agency, including God the Holy Spirit. What's preached to sinners, the forgiveness of Him. By Him all believing are just literally justified, declared righteous, made the righteousness of God in Him. From all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. All my life they've told me, you got to do right to keep from getting left. what they said. Sounds good on the surface. And don't you dare think I'm not saying you shouldn't do right. If you were in our Sunday Bible class this morning, you've been in our Sunday Bible class, and you've been in any of our studies, our responsibility as God's children, we should be the best we should be, can be. We should be the best of the best. We should be lovers of men and women's souls. We should be lovers of our God. We should seek to bring our character and conduct into conformity to Christ in every single solitary area. But here's the thing. While we have to be careful not to confuse any outward obedience we do is making up any part of righteousness Christ established, that righteousness which guarantees our justification and eternal life, we must, as God's children, those regenerated, converted, redeemed, sanctified, justified children of God out of grace and gratitude, we should seek to honor and glorify God in every area of our lives. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." How much? Everything you do. Here's one more. Paul wrote to those at Corinth. He says, "For you are bought with a price." What was the price? The precious blood of Jesus. You're bought with a price. Therefore, since you are bought, you're owned. You're a child of God. Therefore, because of that, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. And here's the thing, nowhere is this more necessary than in the true and living God entrusting into the care of justified, redeemed sinners the lives of their children. You think about what we've been given. If you have children this morning, whether they're little children, whether they're teenagers, whether they're adults, whatever stage of life they're in, we have been given an awesome and awful responsibility, have we not? I want to speak to fathers today. I want to speak to grandparents. I want to speak to aunts and uncles. But since it's Mother's Day, you know who we're going to speak to? Direct to? And that, don't write yourself out of this equation. We want to speak to mothers, particularly to the women of this group who profess and claim that their reliance is upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord our righteousness. And if you know anything about me, and most of you do, there's no way that this message is going to be one that directs men or women to produce an outward obedience to God's law, doing those things which lost religionists consider righteousness or holiness, and hope that by their outward acts of morality and sincerity that they can direct or lead their kids to the Lord. That's what most religious people hold in high esteem. That's where they come up with this false idea, this false notion, this satanic lie. The best sermon you can preach is which one? It's the one that you live. But I do hope this morning that by these simple words that I can deliver, we'll fully understand our great responsibility for the gospel our children hear. I hope also that we see the responsibility to our children is seen not just in the words of the doctrine that we profess, but through the love of the truth. Evidence by our dedication to God's gospel, to His people, and to the advancement of His kingdom in this present evil world. Even if our children hadn't embraced the gospel, they ought to at least know by their parents' actions that the true gospel, and the Christ that that gospel declares is that which their parents value the most. You hear me? Our children ought to see the most important thing to us is what? Christ, His blood, His righteousness, those that are like precious flesh. And I look across the face of this group this morning, people that now make up Grace Baptist Church, it's a whole lot different than it was 36 years ago when we started back out in Duboc, Louisiana, and Bart and Sally's house, and then later when we moved to the little building that was Sally's home place there in Duboc. Most, tragically, for the most part, most of the ones that started with us are no longer with us. They started, they came for a while, and then all of a sudden they just disappeared. I always think about 1 John. They went out from us because they were not part of us. They went out from us to make manifest that they were not part of us. For if they had been part of us, what would they have done? They'd remain with us. But they went out that it may be made manifest that they were not of us. You see that? I've said this for decades, almost four decades. If we go another decade, if you're not under this gospel, you don't believe this gospel. Hear me? You can't make somebody leave this gospel. No, you just can't. I'm so grateful to our God for all the men and women and children that He's been pleased to bring under the gospel. And I'm also grateful that He has in many of our cases, you know what He's done? He's been pleased to reveal His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to us and in us. Brought us to a true faith and true repentance, brought us out of our former religion from various walks of life, brought us to see Christ's blood and His righteousness, His accomplished death as our only hope and cause of salvation. But here's the thing also. I know there's a lot of people, and I've seen this more and more and more as time has gone on in my life and in my ministry. There's a lot of men and women that I know now that for reasons known only to God's sovereign will and purpose, God, for some reason, only brought these men and women to believe the gospel in old age. Not old age, I don't like that. In older ages. Not in their childhood, not in their youth. You know, I mean, most of us, we made professions in false religion, but, you know, the Lord brought me to the knowledge of the truth. I guess I was around 25, 26 years of age. But a lot of people I know, they don't come to know the Lord until they're in their 50s or 60s. Many of them here lately that I've run into and encountered are people that come to know the truth in their 70s. And so since that's the case, they're brought to a knowledge of the truth, but they had no opportunity through all their lives. You know, they went through their childhood and their young adult life, and then they got married and they had children and they grew up. And their children have grown up, and their children are gone, and have children, and now they have great-grandchildren, or grandchildren, and even great-grandchildren. The Lord's pleased to bring them to a knowledge of the truth. And they had no opportunity ever in their life to share the gospel, the true gospel, through all those years, which to me, our lives in that time of lostness, it was years of futility religiously, but never had an opportunity to tell our children about the gospel. And I know that has to be a burden to bear. Yeah, I had the privilege, and Pam and I had the responsibility. Our children, my boys, they never heard anything from their childhood up but this glorious message. Never. I didn't allow them to hear anything else. It was this or nothing at all. But you didn't have that opportunity. And you understand why. Well, I think that the book of Deuteronomy sums it up. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto the things that are revealed. He has to reveal it. Belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Here's what I want to try to convey to every mother and every father and every believer in Grace Baptist Church this morning. Don't feel guilty for that for which you had absolutely no control over. Like the Apostle Paul, think about it. He zealously pursued his religion. He sought to convert people to his religion. And he sought to bring people to believe like he did, trusting in a false God, resting in a false hope. And you did the same thing. Every one of us did. But you did it in ignorance and unbelief. So you don't need to heap unwarranted judgment upon yourself concerning your children. But here's the thing. Now that you know the truth, now that he's revealed the truth to you, he's brought you to rest in Christ and his imputed righteousness is your only ground, hope, or cause of salvation. Follow the Apostle Peter's words in dealing with your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your friends and even your foes. What's that? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer of the reason. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you. You hear that? They ask me. A reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and fear. As a pastor of this small flock, I want to seek to fulfill my responsibility as your pastor to speak peace to you in hope and in prayer that God will use his word to comfort us, to encourage us in this most holy faith. Every time I stand up in this pulpit, I always hear Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2, echoing through my mind, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. What are we to tell her? Your warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Where did it fall? It fell on our surety, our substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you listen to me. Be thankful to God that at least as long as you're living, your children, your parents, your siblings, and your friends who are religious but lost, they have in you the salt of the earth. They can hold forth to them, as the Lord gives you opportunity, the truth that sets men and women free. Now I want to share two things with you this morning, just two, here on Mother's Day. And it concerns our responsibility and our obligation concerning the gospel. And I would encourage the men as well to don't think for one second that you're out from underneath this responsibility. That's why I had all read Ephesians chapter 5. Husbands are as responsible for the upbringing of their children as the mother are. Here's the first thing I gained by studying these verses that we're going to talk about this morning, is that somebody had to teach this young preacher, Timothy. Now that's what these two epistles are about, 1st and 2nd Timothy, write to a young preacher, Timothy. Somebody had taught this young preacher the gospel. Do you know who taught Timothy the gospel? Turn back to chapter 1. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. Who taught him? Who instructed this child the gospel? Look here at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first, where was it first of all? In the grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, and that word persuaded means I'm convinced that who else is it in? It's in you also, Timothy. And the thing that I find so interesting about the way this is written, especially in connection with what he said over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, is this. There's no mention of a father. There's no mention of a grandfather. But fortunately, who's mentioned? Two godly women. Two godly women. Made godly how? by virtue of their oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, their surety, substitute, Savior, and Redeemer, these two godly women, you know what they did? They fulfilled their obligation and their responsibility as justified saints to train up their child in the way they should go. I don't care whether you're a husband, your husband's a believer or an unbeliever. Your responsibility as a mother this morning, every mother that hears these words, if you have children, your responsibility as a mother to your child's soul is to train them up in the way they should go. You hear that? This word train up, it means to initiate or to discipline. See, your responsibility as a mother or a grandmother, you know what it is? It's to initiate, or you're to be the one that takes the action, not them. You don't ask for them. You initiate it. And you discipline your children, what? In the way they should go. Now, I know false religion puts a lot of emphasis on that verse, train up a child in the way they should go. And by that, they talk about you got to get your children by certain actions and activities to mimic your behavior, your character, and your conduct. That's not what he's talking about. We'll talk about your walk as a mother in just the second part of this message. But I want you to know this much. Two times in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, King Solomon warned every single solitary soul this. There is a way that seems right unto a man, and the end of that way is death. And the thing that they were never honest with me about in false religion was this. What way seems right? You ever remember them telling you that? To them, what was the way that seemed right? Morality, sincerity, religious effort, religious zeal, seeking to establish a righteousness that would cause God to owe a man or woman eternal life. But sadly, when you think about it, the vast majority of fathers and mothers and grandparents and children, they're following a broad way, another way, the way of death and destruction. So since that's not the way, what is the way? I think our Lord Jesus Christ nailed it, did he not? He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, you say, Pastor, doesn't that mean that it's my responsibility as a mother or a father to bring my children to church, bring them to Sunday school, and plop them down in Sunday school, and then plop them down in worship service, and let the Sunday school teachers teach them in the back, and let the preacher preach to them on Sunday mornings? Hadn't I fulfilled my responsibility? Not on your life. He doesn't say, let the preachers and the Sunday school teachers train up your children in the way they should go. Who does he tell to do it? Us. All of us, individuals. You folks, listen, you should train or instruct them as a parent and mother. And to do so, you know what? You got to be trained yourself. And see, the only way you can be personally instructed, personally trained, is what? By using the means God has given you for your instruction. What? First of all, as a mother this week, and as a father or a grandmother or grandfather, have you picked up the Word of God this week? That's one of the means. How are you going to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth if you don't ever read the truth? What's another means? Attending the worship of God with the brethren in worship and fellowship around Christ, His blood and His righteousness, His gospel that declares Christ's righteousness is a sinner's only hope. Instructs us in the Word of life. In other words, where should every mother, believing mother and father, be every time the church doors open? With the people of God. Here's the thing. Being taught, you in turn, what are you supposed to do? Teach your children. Teach your children. That's what we come together for. Don't come up here so you can sit there for a couple hours and then go home and then come back next week. This is the work of the ministry. What? For the perfecting of the saints, for the calling out of God's elect. It's your responsibility to share the gospel with your children, to make it clear to their young minds, both the glorious person and the work of the one who saved you and gave himself for you. Do you know him? In other words, what I'm saying is, you need to tell your kids about the Christ you know. And if you know him, you'll tell other people about him, especially your children. They're kind of a captive audience, are they not? You know what they're going to do? Run out? I'll run away. If my mom or daddy talks to me about Christ and his blood and righteousness, I'll just run away. Well, go. I remember my mama in false religion. If I'd have told my mama I'd run away, she'd say, go ahead. I'd make it to my grandfather's back porch till supper time came, and I'd come back home. They got nowhere to go. You kind of got them at a disadvantage in reality. And we'll see that in just a few minutes. You tell them about the Christ you know. How do I know that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, what Paul said, isn't that the truth? Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he doesn't stop, does he? He keeps on going. The next thing out of his mouth is this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? It would be a tragic thing for your child to never hear about Christ from your lips. Especially if you claim you believe this gospel. It's just too hard for me to convey. It'd be hard for me to tell you how much I love my wife in words. It would be. And I'd probably make a mess of it. But I do love her. And I think your children would understand if you told them about him who loved you and gave himself for you. Told them the truth that sets you free. Tell them the reality of your own life. I tell you what, we know. I know what God set me free from. I do. And it's easy to tell somebody about it. You don't leave it in the hands of an unbelieving spouse. You don't leave it in the hands of unbelieving religious grandparents or friends. Your children's friends will get your kid to make a profession of religion. Next thing you'll know, your kid will be saying, I'm getting baptized down at such and such churches, and don't know anything of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come because they hadn't been told. And if they hadn't been told, whose fault is it? It's yours as a parent for not putting them under. And that brings us to the second thing that I want to share with you, and is I want you as a mother, as well as all of us here today, to see in these two passages that we've looked at this morning here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3. If we claim that we have spiritual life, if we claim we have been saved and justified and redeemed and given eternal life, it will evidence itself in our attitude and in our appreciation of God's gospel. You hear that? If I have been set free by the word of his grace, it will evidence itself by my love and appreciation of that message that set me free. Look at what Paul said. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you. It's not on you, it's in you. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul is telling us that Timothy's grandmother, Lois, think about this, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice and Timothy himself, they evidence their unfeigned. And you know what that word unfeigned means? It literally means without hypocrisy, unhypocritical faith. Now think about this. Even though any or all of our outward good works are not the cause or a condition of our salvation, they are the fruit and the effect of spiritual life given to us in regeneration and conversion. In other words, faith evidences itself in the lives of those who possess it. These two women, Lois and Eunice, you know what? They valued the gospel because they knew the Christ declared in the gospel. The Christ who had did everything necessary to redeem and justify their wretched, sinful souls. And because they knew him, and because they understood the value of eternal life, what did they do? They instructed this young child, Timothy, that God had entrusted to them. What are you saying? They made the gospel the number one priority in their lives. But not only did they make the gospel the number one priority in their lives, they made it the number one priority in the life of this boy that was entrusted to them. Mother and a grandmother. You hear that? Now, just like them, they saw the priority. They exercised their responsibility in keeping this child, Timothy, under that unfeigned faith that they possess. But just like them, you know what? We have no guarantee anywhere in God's Word. You search it over for yourself. I could have kept my two boys under the gospel their whole life, insisted, man, we did. Our boys, you say, well, they're preacher's kids. Well, my son keeps his daughter under the gospel. He ain't a preacher. You've kept your children under the gospel. You're not preachers. But here's the thing. Even if we exercise our responsibility, and as true godly parents, we keep our children under the gospel, showing them both by our words and by our example the importance of the gospel above everything else in our lives, we have absolutely no guarantee that the Lord will bring them to true faith and true repentance. Matter of fact, when you think about it, many a true godly parents in the Word of God did raise their children in the right way their whole lives. And they've saw their children go what? The way of the world. Die in sin and unbelief. I'd say one of the primary, when we get to the smallest, lowest common denominator, Cain, Adam, and Eve had two boys. Cain and Abel. And they had taught and instructed both those boys that there's only one way sin can be put away. How? By the blood of an innocent victim. One heard, the other did not hear. And Cain died in unbelief. Eli's sons. Remember them? Aaron, the high priest. Eli was a priest. Aaron was a priest. You think he didn't insist that his children be under the gospel? Their children, their sons be under the gospel? David's son, Absalom, raised by the apple of God's own eye. But that's not our responsibility as a mother or parent. Our responsibility is to obey God's revealed will by way of commandment. And His will is this, that we train up our children in the way that they should go, trusting that our God, if it's for His glory, glorifies and honors Him as both a just God and a Savior, that He'll bring our children to true faith and true repentance. And we'll humbly bow to it. But if it's His will, when we fulfill our responsibility to keep our children under the gospel, He's pleased to not reveal Himself to our children. You know what we'll do? We'll humbly bow to that as well. Because I know this much, whatever the Lord does is right. He doesn't know any man, any woman, any child, anything but what Christ purchased for His people. You know, I can tell you this much, even though I know there's nothing in God's Word that tells me if I fulfill my responsibility to keep my children under the gospel that they'll be saved, I also know this much, that if I don't keep my children under the gospel, they'll never hear the gospel. You hear that? If I don't make it the number one priority in my life, it'll never be any priority to their lives. ever. See, here's the thing. You got to hear the truth to know the truth. We believe that, do you not? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And I want to be as honest as I possibly can be. If your son or your daughter, you're their best friend, and I think that's the biggest mistake most parents make. They want to be their children's friends, their buddy. If you're your children's best friend and you're seeking to advance them in everything this world has, you know what? Your children will follow your example, and they'll consider the things that are of this present evil world as those things which are most important. You take this to heart. Where the treasure is, that's where the heart's going to be. What's important? And I'll tell you this much. I know this. Pam has emphasized this to me, especially when we got young little eyes again hanging around to us. Those little young eyes and young ears and little minds. And those children that we love so much, you know what? They're watching us. They're watching us. They're watching our every move. And if they don't see by our words and by our actions that those things which are seen, the things that are of this world, are of more value than the things that are not seen, which are eternal, which is Christ and His righteousness, they'll take the same attitude and approach to it that we do. You say, God's absolutely sovereign. Oh, yeah, He is, but we are responsible. Are we not? I hear people say all the time, I've heard this for 36 years. I've heard parents tell me, I love my children more than anything in this world. And I don't question that. But you need to ask yourself a question. Do you really love your children more than anything in this world? Let me ask you this question. Would you allow your child to play with a poisonous serpent? Allow them to handle it? Befriend it? Have it as a big part of their life? Why not? Because you know the implications of it. If it's a poisonous serpent, what's going to happen ultimately? No matter how appealing it might be outwardly or how much of a big deal it might be to have a poisonous serpent, at some point in time, what happens? It bites you and you die. Well, consider that in a spiritual sense. Would you allow your children to value the things of this earth, which are in reality vanity, foolishness, above Christ and His gospel? Let that sink in. Would I allow my child to think that the things of time and sins are more valuable than Christ and His blood and His righteousness? Because I tell you, if you do, you think it's more important that your child has a good education and is popular and famous or an athlete or a president or a lawyer or a doctor or anything else. That's the most important thing of all. Don't tell me you truly love your child like you should. Don't tell me you love them more than anything in this world. James put it like this. He said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God's grace." I'm going to say this, and I'll close. By God's grace, Pam and I sought to impress on the minds of our boys. And now Pam has helped me with this. We're seeking our best to impress on our granddaughter. The importance of Christ and His righteousness above everything else. They won't find that in the world. Everything that the world affords, it will never point them to Christ, His blood, and His righteousness. And I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this from experience, and I've got some of it now. Do not be your child's friend. Be their teacher. Be their instructor. Be their parent. Matter of fact, I'll even go this far. While they're under your care, be a dictator. I don't want to go to church. You got no option. They only got one soul. Just one. And you only have a limited amount of time as a parent to train up your child in the way they should go. And I'm telling you, one day you're going to wake up, and it's going to happen a lot faster than you think. You're going to wake up one day, and that little child that was so precious to you that you had the responsibility to put them under the gospel and keep them under the gospel so that faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the Word of God, they're all grown up, and they've married somebody that's in false religion, and they're gone away. They're gone. Train them while you can. You hear me? And if the Lord's pleased by your instruction to bring them to true faith and true repentance, nothing in the world compares to it. Nothing. The greatest joy that I have is to know that my two sons believe the gospel. I do. Matter of fact, I can remember selfishly praying, Lord, all the years, and I knew the true gospel. This was not in false religion. This was after I came to know the gospel. I prayed, Lord, if you would, if it's your will, let me live long enough to see my two boys, if they're yours, see them come to true faith and true repentance. And when my sons expressed to me their knowledge and understanding that Christ had revealed himself to them and in them, I secretly, behind the scenes, I prayed, Lord, I was kind of like Simeon. Let thy servant go in peace. I thought, everybody that I love in my family that's important to me came to believe the gospel. And I got to thinking, boy, that's selfish, because who else have I had responsibility over? Not just my two boys. What's my responsibility to everybody in this church family? Every one of God's elect that watch us over that silly thing hanging up there on the wall. To point them to Christ, to His blood, and to His righteousness. And I'll tell you what, I know your children won't like it, and some of them will scrub against it pretty good. But I'll tell you what, when the Lord's pleased to reveal Himself to you, they'll express their thankfulness to you for keeping them under the gospel. And they'll never hold it against you. They won't. Henry used to say years ago, one of the first things that I stole from him, he always said this, life's too short. Death's too sure, judgment's too certain, and eternity is too long to play games with these life or death issues. And to every mother here on Mother's Day that hears these words, I call on all of you, including your husbands, if they believe the gospel, and all the grandfathers and grandmothers, to set a godly example. Not by your character and your conduct. Point your children to Christ. Keep Him ever before their eyes. Because truly, Christ said it best. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed. I appreciate your presence. Lord bless you and keep you until we see you next Lord's Day.